I first interviewed Kristen on January 29th of 2014. We met the year I returned to Minnesota in 2008 at an opening. Although we shared many mutual friends, we did not know one another. I can still recall purchasing a cup of hers sometime in the early 2000s. Now it is so well used and stained. That pink mug traveled with me to a variety of locations. I am so thankful to have met that mug's owner. I am grateful for all of Kristen's input and suggestions on this project. Kristen studied biology at Carleton College and in her junior year changed her major to studio art after an introductory wheel course. She supplemented her ceramic education with workshops, critiques with Linda Christensen, and as an unclassified grad student at Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville under the instruction of Dan Anderson. She completed her MFA at Penn State University in 2004. Kristen has completed residencies at Watershed Center for Ceramic Art and the Archie Bray Foundation. She currently resides in Eden Prairie, Minnesota with her husband and two sons. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Can you give us a little background on yourself? So where did you go to school? Any highlights in your ceramic path prior to your current position that you have? And finally, where and how long have you been in your current location?
All right, well, a little background about myself. I grew up in the Twin Cities area, went to Carleton College. Well, how much detail do you want?
As much as, you know.
As much as you want. Okay, well, I've always enjoyed art. I remember being in first grade thinking I was going to be a painter until I found out that most painters didn't actually make a living until they were dead. So I thought, okay, we'll nix that. But certainly I love drawing. Drawing was what I used to do. Before I discovered clay, I took my first class in high school. By accident, I signed up for a drawing class and they put me in clay. And I was upset about it, but enjoyed it well enough that I took a second semester of clay in high school. So just hand building at that point and whimsical, funny things, nothing serious. I kind of forgot about clay for a little while and went to Carleton College, where I was pre-med and a biology major, and I thought I'd go on to be a veterinarian. But come junior year, fall term, I was so done with being in the lab that I decided to cash in one of my fine arts credits and got into ceramics, beginning wheel throwing class. I'm off of the wait list, so I was the only non-major junior that got in, so I feel it was fate that I am supposed to be doing this, and just fell in love with the wheel and the way that the material moved on the wheel, and spent nearly all my time in that class, and other grades suffered, and decided to switch majors. After that, I just didn't stop working with clay. I stayed at Carleton for an extra year and a half as a kind of an art associate intern, did the grunt work for the department in return for materials and studio access and firing the kilns and all that. And then I also assisted Linda Christensen as Tim Lloyd, my professor, was doing a phase-out retirement, so assisted her for one term before I went to Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville, Illinois, where I worked with Dan Anderson for a term before he retired, and then went on to graduate school, Penn State, went there to work with Chris Staley, found that I had maybe more connection with Liz Quackenbush, and that's where I fell in love with earth and wear. My goal in graduate school was to come up with a body of work that I could do once I left. I knew I wouldn't have access to a soda kiln right away, which was my love. So it wood soda is what I had wanted to pursue, but I didn't have land, didn't have money. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll have an electric kiln. So I set forth just trying to come up with a body of earthenware work and didn't really become inspired with earthenware until a trip to the Freer Gallery in Washington, D.C., and got to hold some of the most amazing ancient pots. And it was the Isnik and the Sgraffito wares from Iran that just blew me away. So then I knew, oh, wow, you know, earthenware can be exciting. And basically pulled my show in about 2 months after that visit. After receiving my MFA, I was offered a job at Hamlin. Actually, the day my show went up, I got a phone call asking if I wanted to teach. And it was never something I really considered, but I knew I wanted to go back home to Minnesota. So I said, well, okay, sure, I'll try it. And was there for about 5 years as the sole ceramics person and sole woman at the time in the department studio. So did a few residencies. I was lucky enough to do a residency at the Archie Bray Foundation in 2005. Summer residency, best summer of my life. Oh, best summer of my life. And I'm just, you know, trying to find a way to get back there with kids in tow. Thinking about this summer, I'm thinking maybe I'll contact Steve Lee and see what kind of childcare options are there. There's lots of kids at the Bray now. Oh, it was a wonderful experience. It opened up a lot of doors for exhibitions, and my work started to sell a little bit better after being there. So I really got a sense like, okay, I can do this, and I don't have to rely on teaching forever. That was a huge highlight. 2 years after that, I spent about a month in Japan doing a residency in Aomori Prefecture with 14 other artists from around the world. Doing wood fire, so got to go back to something that I used to really, really enjoy. And, you know, I found out that the process was great, but my pots don't translate. So that was nice to see. I could kind of hang up that dream a little bit easier. I am currently in Maplewood, Minnesota.
In your questionnaire, you mentioned that your studio is behind or next to your home. Can you talk a bit about the advantages or disadvantages of this arrangement? And how does this studio location impact relations to your family life and children?
Yeah, it goes both ways. It's nice having the studio right there because I can always go out when I have time and energy to do some work. But I feel like I can always go out and work. So I may not always go out when I need to. Certainly having it at home, I'm always thinking about what needs to be done at the home, laundry and dishes and housework. So it's hard to separate the two when I see what needs to be done. But it's nice being able to just walk right out. I don't have to drive. I think if I did have a studio elsewhere, though, I'd use my time more efficiently, because I would have made the effort to drive there, drive to this other location and sit down and do something. There's just maybe too many distractions at home. Yeah, that is the other challenge. My kids know when I'm there, so they're pounding on the door, they're knocking on the window, Mom, watch me. And of course you want to see what they're doing, and you don't want to be rude.
Right.
And say, you know, this is my studio time. I guess that's the job of the babysitter, to put up those boundaries. Winter is a huge challenge because the studio is just not warm. So who wants to work with clay and water when it's freezing outside? But, you know, it has to get done.
How does daycare work for your family? I know that your husband helps you watch the boys so that you can work in the studio, or maybe that has changed, I'm not sure. But what about those times when you go to work at the White Bear Center for the Arts, or when you are working towards a show or sale? How have your arrangements changed over time, too?
My parents live close by, so they've been a huge help. My mother comes over every Wednesday, so that allowed me to come here. And Wednesdays are my usual studio day. If I'm lucky, I get to make work on a Wednesday. But yeah, my parents try to help out when they can, but you know, I don't want to always call them up for every little thing I need. So my husband gets home in the evenings, and that's my chance to do work when he gets home. So around 8 o'clock or so, I can go out to the studio if I don't want to see him and do some work then. And then the weekends as well, if I choose not to partake in the family activities. So it's hard because you want to be a part of your family, but you need to get work done too. And I find that, you know, family time is when I have help to watch over the boys. And so I try to do at least one weekend day where I'm in my studio and keep some family time open on the second. As far as teaching goes, I teach just one day a week right now at the White Bear Center for the Arts, and my mother comes over and watches the kids until my husband gets home.
That's nice.
So, so it's just relying on babysitters right now to get work done. And if I have shows or sales coming up, it just means later hours in the night. Less sleep.
Yeah, and I mean, your son's getting close to kindergarten, so have you thought about that shift?
Well, I still have the younger one, though.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know how that will work. I'm not sure what our schooling situation is going to be like yet. But certainly, yeah, there's that possibility of when both boys are gone, at least in the mornings, maybe I'll have 2 hours or so to work.
So going back to those first few days, months, and years after the birth of your first son, can you reflect on your feelings towards your studio practice at that point in time? And were your feelings the same after the birth of your second son, or were they different?
Well, when Noah was first born, I tried to be easy on myself. I knew I wasn't going to get much done, so I didn't push it. I too had talked to Jess Parker when I was at the Bray. She was someone I was really grilling about having kids and trying to figure out how to maintain a studio life too. And she had said, you know, the kids are only going to be little for so long and to enjoy it before they go off to school. So I try to keep that in my mind that, yeah, it seems like forever that I haven't been in the studio now, but in the long run, it's nothing. But it's so hard. So hard to keep that in mind sometimes. So I think I took about 3 months off before I started going back in the studio to tinker around after Noah was born. And it wasn't until maybe a year or so after he was born that I felt like I was really getting into the rhythm, and then I got pregnant again. I had about six months of good work until, yeah, I got pregnant again, and then that second pregnancy was just really hard. I didn't do much other than work on my studio, try to really make a nice working space when I was pregnant the second time, because I figured it would be even harder to get into the studio after number two was born. But after he was born, gosh, what did I do? Getting back into the teaching was I think, my first steps back into the studio. So I think I returned after about 3 months. Eased back into it with the help of a Minnesota State Arts Board grant. With that money, I was able to afford one day of daycare. I started that when my youngest was about 9 months old, I believe. And they went to daycare once a week, in addition to having my mother come over once a week. So I had 2 studio days, yay. And that's when I really started to get back into a real groove with experimenting, not like doing more beyond what I had to do, like beyond just cups and right. The occasional plate or bowl. And I felt like my work was able to start growing a little bit with the help of that grant.
You brought up the idea of keeping your hands busy with other creative endeavors in your questionnaire. Yeah. And I think this is something that's been echoed or talked about in different ways from a variety of women in this project.
Yeah.
Activities such as sewing.
Mm-hmm.
How have these activities fed your clay work, and where do you see them going in the future? Or, you know, maybe you don't see them as part of your practice, but maybe you do.
That's a good question. I mean, the sewing actually started before I was pregnant. It was something for me to do at home, so I wouldn't always have to travel to a studio to work. So I take sweaters, felt them down, cut them up, and make oven mitts. So it was something to go along with the pots. So my grand scheme is to have like my own line of like kitchen stuff and accessories. So you got your pots, you got your mitts, you got... love to make aprons someday, and the tea towels, and just everything to outfit your kitchen. So that's where the sewing came in. And the sewing, I mean, it's just something that's a little bit easier to do around the kids. They're not exposed to all the chemicals and dust. Yeah. So I guess that's where that, I started doing that. But, I mean, since having the boys, too, I'm just thinking about activities career related, and thinking about building things that would just be fun for them. Like a stegosaur ottoman is on my brain right now.
Oh, wow.
But, if I can't be dirty with the clay, it's nice to have another outlet.
So can you talk a bit about how teaching has helped keep your hands in the material? and how this activity has helped your studio practice?
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, even though I'm just teaching once a week, well, first of all, it's nice to get out of the house and talk to people that aren't four, and you know, that don't want to just talk about superheroes all day long, or, you know, ask them to wipe your nose. So that's been refreshing. But the class that I teach at White Bear, I try to present a little demo each week, or a new technique, talk about a new technique through a finished pot. And some of these demos they force me to do things that I don't normally do in my own work. But then I started thinking, oh gosh, that was kind of fun. Maybe I should introduce it into my own work. So that actually happened this past month. We were making some roulettes, bisque roulettes, and I've been carving my patterns in that and just anxious to try them out. So I don't necessarily have the time to play in my own studio, but when I'm doing the demonstrations, that's my time to play and figure out some new ways of going about my own work.
Could you also talk a bit about incorporating more hand building into your work, and you know, what does that mean? What does it look like? And the rhythm of this process, I know, has been, you mentioned, being beneficial to your studio practice. So mm-hmm. Could you talk about how that works in relation to time and family?
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, the hand building. Gosh, I finally unpacked a slab roller that I had bought at the Bray like last February. So it's been almost a year. So I had it in storage since 2005. Finally unpacked it, and of course, new toy, you know, yep. Want to start working with it. So I've been hand building a lot of trays and just small things. I like making small dishes that don't necessarily have a function, I'm learning, but they're just fun to make. So making a lot of slab type dishes. And then I also stumbled upon Chandra Debuse's foam technique.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, I've been going to town with that because it's just so much fun to use this really, you know, bizarre foamy material, yet it has this wonderful supporting aspect with clay. So that's what I've been using to get some of my shapes. Well, hand building, it's nice. It doesn't have to be symmetrical or round. Not that it does on the wheel either, but it's just a lot easier. I find myself just cutting up a lot of paper and creating templates that way. So it's something I can do inside with the kids. Hey, let's make snowflakes. Let's make some hearts. Clip, 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 and I'm working, and they don't even know it. It just fits into my time. And then also not having to wait for things to set up. So yeah. I'm already starting with clay that's not halfway there, but, you know, on its way. I can finish a pot in a day. Depending on the weather, I can do that with a thrown piece too, but it's just a lot quicker to.
Yep.
The hand building's been allowing me to try some different texturing techniques that I just can't do with wheel thrown work. So I guess a bunch of things.
many moms have mentioned the ability to get in a few hours of work in the evening after the kids have gone to bed. That said, there seemed to be two things that were true throughout their responses. And the first one was, I often make bad decisions when I work after my kids have gone to bed or at night. You know, for example, I make more work than I can trim the next time I have studio time. Or I mess up the work that I made earlier in the day, you know, late in the evening, those kinds of thoughts.
Yeah.
And the second one was that people felt like they were being much more efficient or effective with the time they did have in the studio. You know, if it was just 1 hour, what they could do in that 1 hour mm-hmm. now versus 1 hour, you know, 5 or 6 years ago or however many. Why do you feel that both of these statements are so common for all of the mothers in this project?
Well, once you have kids, you have to be efficient. Gosh, well, as far as bad, because you think you're a super mom, you think you can do it all. I like to think I can do it all, and sometimes sometimes, rarely, no. I overestimate what I can handle. Well, and as far as making goes, you get into a rhythm, and you start to remember what it was like, you know, spending those long hours, and, you know, you have a couple wear boards of pots left, and then you're like, oh, shoot, you know, when am I going to trim these? And you just have to become an expert at wrapping things up and spritzing during, maybe that's what you do during the nap time, spritz, spritz, spritz. Yeah, and as far as being much more efficient, well, yeah, you just don't have the time anymore to lollygag in the studio. So I find that, you know, it goes both ways with the efficiency for me. It just depends on what the kids have been up to. Yeah. Because if they're still on my brain, it's not like you can hang them up. I can't hang them up at the door and just forget all about them. So if my mind is with them, my hour is lost. But I also find that if a deadline is really pressing, I have to do it. It's now or never.
Yep.
You got to get it done. I find that I maybe don't take as many risks in those smaller chunks mm-hmm. of time because you don't have the time to really think about it and weigh out the options. You just have to make that decision and do it confidently and hope it's right.
Yep. But I kind of wondered if that, and that's a good word for it, that confidence, if there's a little bit more confidence in what we're doing because you have to do it. And also because that hour and a half is much more precious than it ever was before,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so you to some extent feel a little bit more confident and exuberant when you have it, you know, than, you know, before kids, you might have spent that hour and a half trying to decide what kind of tea and music would be perfect for this setting in the studio, you know?
That's true. Now it's whatever's in the player pushing play, and that's what you're listening to.
What do you think that we could do in the clay community to prevent making women feel that they must choose maternity or career? And what are things that we could do to make the clay community more family friendly?
Well, yeah, it's funny that you feel like it needs to be a choice. And that's how I felt. Well, mm-hmm. I guess that is still how I feel. But that was a huge... I guess, reason to hold off on having kids because I felt like, okay, once I have them, career's over. But it seems like more and more people now are having it both, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, kind of coming to light now. So I feel like it's a good time to have kids because you're in a community of people all doing kind of the same thing. So in that way, knowing that they're there, there's that sense of community and by you're pulling together this website, we'll be able to see that, yeah, there's more of us out there. We're not alone, which is important to be reminded of, especially, you know, if you're at home with the kids. And, I mean, being an artist in general, you're very solitary, and or you can be. And so it's just nice to know that there is a community of people going through the same thing. It's sad when you hear of people thinking that they can't have both and that they're not attempting. And I know people who've decided not to have kids because they want to have a career. And I think you can have both. It's just, it's work. It's going to be a lot of work. No, not going to sugarcoat that. But I don't think you have to do one or the other. So I think it's off to a good start by just so many people deciding to have both. Right now, I think that's what we're doing well. We're making babies and making art together. It would be nice to be able to have a residency, a position available where you could bring your family and know that you don't know that there's maybe housing opportunities available. You don't have some sort of living situation set up.
I even think like a workshop. You know, I mean, how do you do a workshop even? You know.
Oh, with kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Well, I assisted Linda at Penland when Celie was... I think she was maybe 7 or so. She just came with. I think there was a babysitter there to watch the kids.
Okay.
But just having some sort of daycare option available without being expected to bring them with you, because that's, you know, if you're traveling a long ways, you can't necessarily...
Right.
Afford bringing a babysitter with you. So I guess that would be a huge help, just having some sort of childcare access of in any of these places, workshops, residencies.
What advice do you have for young women working in clay as they begin to think about, or not, because some of us don't think about it, their future as mothers and makers?
If you plan on being a maker for a living, not going the teaching route. I guess I wish I had maybe established myself more and was actually earning of an income, yeah, from just making pots. I mean, granted, lots of things have happened, I mean, technology and all that. I mean, people are selling in such different ways now, but I kind of feel like it's a lot to learn while on top of everything else, you know, how to market the work. So in hindsight, I guess I wish I had done more of that, building a website earlier, building up a mailing list earlier, maybe doing more local shows earlier, trying the art fair circuit, just so I wouldn't have to rely on Etsy and online, because that's just something I don't have time for now. But otherwise, you know what, I think it's possible. There's a lot of people doing both, so don't choose.
Who are the biggest role models for you when it comes to successful women working in clay who are also mothers, and what have you gained from these women?
Oh boy. Well, Linda Christensen and Liz Quackenbush are mentors of mine, and when talking to Linda about pre-kids, she just said that, you know, she looked at other cultures, like the Indian women, and how they would just strap their babies to their back, and how they were able, the women were still able to make work while having kids, and that was kind of her model. And I just think, wow. I mean, I tried that, and I just look up to anyone who can strap someone to their back and still work like it's no one's business. But I admire Linda for that. But Liz has also been someone whom I've admired too, and granted she's had teaching to help them financially, but throughout it all, you know, she was breastfeeding in the studio and her son was going everywhere with her, and I don't feel like she really took a break from her work like so many people have. Like, she's always been doing shows, and now that her son is in high school, you know, she's out doing residencies, and she's still doing long workshops. And I think if I hadn't known that she was a mother, I wouldn't have known. She doesn't act like, I guess, somebody, a mother. Not, I don't know how to say this.
Maybe she doesn't promote that side of her life.
Well, and I wonder if that's true with a lot of women. If it's something that they just don't talk about when it comes to their career, because I keep thinking that there have to be more successful women artists out there. You just don't know that they're successful women, mothers, artists out there, and you just don't necessarily know that the mother part of them, mm-hmm. unless it comes to play in their work. Liz is just so strong, so that's what I'm trying to channel, some of her strength, and, you know, be okay with doing, you know, what I can and not beating myself up if, you know, stuff doesn't get done, and know that the time will come when studio work will pick up.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation. For more information or to listen to additional interviews like the one you just heard, please visit www.bothartistandmother.com. Funding for this project was made possible by St. Olaf College's Academic Innovation Fund. Special thanks to Caleb Ganheimer for his audio editing, the Ericksons for their music, Heather Wang for her transcription skills, Rachel Elizabeth Murphy for her web expertise, and to all the artist mothers. Thank you.